Chapter 2. They arose before dawn the next day. Anyanwu gave Doro a machete and took one for herself. She seemed content as she put a few of her belongings into a long basket to be carried with her. Now that she had made her decision, she expressed no more doubts about leaving with him, though she was concerned for her people. "You must let me guide you past the villages," she told him. She again wore the guise of a young man and had twisted her cloth around her and between her legs in the way of a man. "There are villages all around me here, so that no stranger can reach me without paying. You were fortunate to reach me without being stopped. Or perhaps my people were fortunate. I must see that they are fortunate again." He nodded. As long as she kept him going in the right direction, she could lead as long as she wanted to. She had given him pounded yam from the night before to break his fast, and during the night she had managed to exhaust his strong young body with lovemaking. "You are a good man," she had observed contentedly, "and it has been too long since I had this." He was surprised to realize how much her small compliment pleased him, how much the woman herself pleased him. She was a worthwhile find in many ways. He watched her take a last look at her house, left swept and neat, at her compound, airy and pleasant, in spite of its smallness. He wondered how many years this had been her home. "My sons helped me build this place," she told him softly. "I told them I needed a place apart where I could be free to make my medicines. All but one of them came to help me. That one was my oldest living son, who said I must live in his compound.